Frederick Buechner, in his book Whistling in the Dark, an ABC Theologized, it's a book with a collection of entries. He has one for Christmas. He tells that in spite of the fact that Christmas music has been playing for weeks, maybe for months, in spite of the fact that the world tells us to buy more things, even for people who don't need more things, in spite of all this, we have never managed to take the meaning from Christmas. That, he says, is part of the miracle of this night. He then goes on to describe a particular Christmas Eve in the life of a young clergyman and his wife. They had very much to do. There were church responsibilities. There were lights and ornaments to hang on the tree. Stockings were hung by the children with care. The children were tucked into bed. And then preparations were made in their home for the next morning. Just as the couple is about to fall exhausted into bed, the man remembers his neighbor is away. And this neighbor asked him to feed his sheep. He nearly forgot them. So he pulls on his coat and his boots and trudges through knee-deep snow out to the barn. He gathers two bales of hay and carries them to the shed. He turns on the 40-watt bulb suspended from a cord, and there are the sheep huddled in a corner, watching what he does. He unbales the hay, and the sheep come over to eat. Buechner says better what I can paraphrase, so I'll quote him for what happens next. He writes, he is reaching to turn off the bulb and leave, when suddenly he realizes where he is. The winter darkness, the glimmer of light, the smell of hay and the sound of the animals eating. Where he is, of course, is the manger. He only just saw it. He whose business it is above everything else to have an eye for such things is all but blind in that eye. He who on his best days believes that everything that is most precious anywhere comes from that manger might easily have gone to bed never knowing that he himself had just been in the manger. The world is the manger. It is only by grace that he happens to see this other part of the miracle. We gather on this Christmas Eve to celebrate and proclaim what, in many ways, is such an ordinary human event, a baby being born. It would be easy to miss the importance and the meaning of this night. The birth of a baby, while miraculous and extraordinary for the couple welcoming the newborn, is ultimately a common human experience. In some ways, it is remarkable most to the immediate family who are part of that birth. We gather on this night to celebrate an ordinary birth that is extraordinary. For we celebrate the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary and Joseph, two poor parents far from home, welcoming their newborn son in the feeding trough of animals. The world takes little notice. The powerful and the elite are not gathered to greet this birth. But this is not an ordinary birth. It is extraordinary. For those who see it, it is a miracle. Tonight's gospel tells us there were those who took notice. There are shepherds, those living at the margins of society, those thought to be of questionable lifestyle and morals. There they are, keeping their sheep in the fields. There we go. An angel comes to them. The glory of the Lord shines around them. And they are terrified. Do not be afraid, the angel says, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The one promised of old, promised by the prophets of Hebrew Scripture, is born. The one that we have heard about throughout this Advent season is born this night. God has come to deliver the people, to lift up the poor and the lowly, to comfort those that mourn, and to set free those who are captive and enslaved. This message of God's good news is entrusted to the lowly, to those shepherds, and they go to the manger. They see the scene that has been told them by the angels, and they tell what they have seen and heard. Through them, the good news is made known to others. The good news that God has entered human history. God has taken on human flesh in the person of Jesus. In our lesson tonight, we heard, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." With these words, the prophet Isaiah expressed the hope of so many, a hope found realized in this newborn babe of Bethlehem. Isaiah describes a king who will come and lift the yoke of burden from the people's shoulders, the one on whom authority rests, the one who will end war, whose kingdom will be marked by peace. It seems, however, we are still walking in darkness, though Jesus is born. The world is not at peace this night. War rages around the globe. Many are hungry, poor, and oppressed. Our own nation has growing numbers of people without adequate income, who lack access to good-paying jobs, to education. Gun violence takes too many lives. Throughout our nation, there are divisions around race and class. Our own families are sometimes torn by strife and division. And some of us gather this night having lost beloved family members. Where is this great light we have seen? Why are we not walking in it? 100 years ago this night, the world was also walking in darkness. World War I began in August 1914, and many thought the war would be over by Christmas. But Christmas Eve that year found soldiers in the muddy trenches at the front. That Christmas Eve night, some German soldiers put Christmas trees on top of their fortifications. Then they sang Stille Nacht. When they finished, from across no man's land, English soldiers answered by singing Silent Night. The next morning, at several points along the front, soldiers from both sides ventured out of their foxholes. They exchanged simple gifts of cigarettes and chocolate. They showed each other photos of their families back at home. Some played games of soccer. Their officers were not pleased by this. They knew it is difficult to kill someone with whom you have any kind of relationship. War requires the enemy to remain faceless. In response, officers outlawed the Christmas truce, and it never happened again throughout the duration of the war. The next morning, on December 26th, despite that Christmas truce, at 8:30 a.m., the war resumed with both sides firing at each other. What if after their Christmas celebration, the soldiers in the trenches had refused to fight? What if after seeing one another's faces, learning of their families, experiencing their humanity, they refused to kill? What if that Christmas truce had endured? It's sad to say, but even if those soldiers who shared Christmas across those enemy lines refused to return to making war, war would not, I think, have ended. We humans live by violence. Our peace is not God's peace. We may have cessation of violence, but it is temporary and often won through violence. Jesus is born this night, not only to love us, but to invite us to love one another and to enter into a new way of life. And Jesus comes showing us what that new way of life is. And he comes to break forever the powers of this world, the powers of sin and violence and hatred. This morning on a blog called Sojourners, Adam Erickson wrote about Jesus defeating the power of sin and evil through his birth, his death, and his resurrection. He said, "Jesus wasn't born simply to tell us to love one another. He wasn't executed on a Roman cross simply because he preached a message of love. Nor was he resurrected to conquer those who killed him. He was born, he was killed, and he rose again to subvert the whole theological and political system of violence with God's nonviolent love. He reveals the absurdity of believing that the means of violence can achieve the goal of peace. This one born this night as a helpless baby in Bethlehem comes among us to love with love stronger than violence, than evil, than death. This one born, the Prince of Peace, loves at all costs, even giving up his life on the hard wood of the cross. And he invites us into this way of life, a way of peace, of love, of life abundant. This night he comes among us desiring to be born in our hearts, yours and mine. He beckons us to open our hearts to him, to allow him to dwell with us, transforming us into his people of love. May we respond to the gift given this night as the shepherds did. May we hear the angels' greeting, hear their good news. With them may we praise and glorify God. Let us go even to Bethlehem, to the manger, and see what God has accomplished. And may we tell what we have seen and heard, and with Mary ponder all these things in our heart. May we be bathed in the light of this night, walking in the great light that God has shined upon us. Walking in that light, the powers of this world cannot overcome. And may we behold one another through this light, seeing as God sees, seeing with eyes of love and mercy. May this light transform us into the lovers of peace God would have us be. And may we, through God's grace, work to build God's kingdom in this world, a kingdom of love, of justice, and of peace." I close this night with a poem by Madeleine L'Engle called First Coming. "He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours, of anguish, shame he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice, for to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice." Amen.